To remind all participants, this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's RAA sub-team B call on Monday the 3rd of May, we have Tatiana Kromsova, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Holly Raich, Steve Metallitz. From staff, we have Glenda Saint-Géry, David Gieser, Heidi Ulrich, Margie Milam, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies today from Michaela Nalon, Stephen Mutasami, and Staten Hammock. If I can please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes, and I hope I haven't left anyone off the call. Thank you. Over to you, Steve.
Thanks very much, Gisela. Welcome, everyone, and appreciate everyone making the time, even in the midst of travel, to join the call today. Our agenda is actually fairly simple because, really thanks to the staff, because Margie circulated on the weekend the first draft of the initial report. I've been calling this a draft report, but in fact it's an initial report. I guess that's correct.
How about draft initial?
Yes, it's the draft initial here. But it's really to give the structure for the report and make sure all of the points that need to be in there are in there. In terms of what's needed from a report, and so I think it's very helpful to have that document to work from, and I think what Margie has done is really just stick in there the current proposals as far as task one and task three, and obviously all of that is up for further discussion as needed, but I think this definitely moves us along farther toward our goal of having the report out the door prior to the Brussels meeting. So I want to thank Margie and her colleagues for spending some time on the weekend to put all this together. So I think our tasks really here are three. One is to walk through the initial report. I know people have had a little time to look at it, so there may be some comments both on the structure and on the content of it. I have a couple of questions myself that I wanted to raise. So then I hope, of course, that we will also on the list over the next few days circulate any additional comments. Second, we need to talk about the planning for the Brussels meeting and for our workshop or other event that we're hoping to have on Monday at the Brussels meeting, if we get our wish. And then the third is just to line up anything that's needed for the next meeting, our next call, which will be a week from today at the same time. So let me ask first if there are any other agenda items. If there are any other agenda items that people wanted to raise. I see that we've been joined by Christina and by Mark Trachtenberg. Welcome.
Thanks.
I know this is a big day of ICANN calls, evidently, from several of the comments. Margie has her hand up. Margie, is something else that we need to have on the agenda?
No, I wanted to provide some background on how the initial report was drafted. So when we get to that, I can
provide
information.
Absolutely. Any other agenda items? Okay, well then, why don't we turn to the draft initial report? And let me just ask you to give us any opening comments or anything you want to do to walk us through this document.
Sure. When I first started to put together, I realized we are the sub team B, and really it's a report that needs to come from the main drafting team, and we actually haven't formally reported on the work that was completed on the Registrant Rights Charter. So the way I sort of put this together was to incorporate both tasks into one report, and provided placeholders for additional content. This is really meant to be a starting point. I've made suggestions for some content, but certainly, it's just a starting point, and the working group can go ahead and change it and add sections as you'd like. But I just wanted to, give you some background on the fact that it probably needs to include both parts of our tasks. And I concluded a lot of attachments because I was trying to figure out what really would be useful to the reader in terms of understanding what the recommendations are. And so some of the attachments that that I've included in here are some of the more substantive proposals, like the law enforcement proposals and the IPC proposal and the staff memos. And I also assume that we want to include the larger matrix, the spreadsheet that has the more detailed inputs from all of the contributors, because even in our, high-level summary, we make reference to the matrix. So I'm assuming that that will be an attachment as well. So that's kind of the background on that. And what I've done in this particular report is included the latest version of the prioritization document that we worked on last week, and it also has this straw man that you sent around, Steve, on Friday. So that's actually already included in there, knowing that it is very draft and subject to change. But I just thought it'd be useful for you all to see the format and to be able to provide language changes in addition to substantive changes. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much. And I think Phil Corwin has joined us as well. Welcome, Phil. I think that's a great introduction. And let me just ask first if people have any questions or comments on what Margie has just laid out regarding the report. Holly? Anybody
just
else?
This is just to say that, in fact, I think it really now hangs together. I think that for people who haven't been sitting here morning after morning or night after night, it brings why we're here and what we've done. So, well done, Margie.
Thank you.
That, certainly. Let me ask one question in terms of bringing in the sub-team A material. My understanding is that they've completed their work, right? And so it's just a question of kind of plugging in what they've done. Or is there something that they're still waiting, that they still need to do?
They've essentially done their work. I think some of them want to work on an aspirational charter, but I believe that work is being done separately through the at-large committee. Maybe Cheryl or Heidi can comment on that. But the substantive work of sub-team A has been concluded. It just hasn't been formally reported to the GNSO Council.
So this won't hold up the rest of this report?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, Cheryl here. I was on mute, and I'm not in the Adobe room. Forgive me for jumping in. Just to confirm what we just said there, and to just suggest that what we make sure we do is reach out to the co-chairs of sub-team A, and Heidi, I'm sure you can manage that, just to make sure that Michaela or Beau have no particular specifics that they want to bring forward. I think it's probably a good time to do a courtesy distribution of this excellent draft document. Thanks, Margie.
Yeah, I assume that this will be done with sub-team A, plug in. The next iteration, you'll plug in what their material will be.
Yes. This is Heidi. I can confirm I can do that.
Great. All right. Let's turn to this document now and just see. I know it's been around it's only been out for a day or two, but I guess I would ask if people have any particular comments they want to make on the executive summary. The document, or maybe we could walk through this and see if people have comments. Anything on the executive summary? Is there anything on the section on background, process, and next steps, which I think I agree, this will be very helpful for people who haven't been part of the process. Okay, part three is about the... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Holly here. Sorry, I didn't raise my hand. just a thought. After the list of names, everybody's got initials. Now, if people are not familiar with ICANN, people are going to say, well, okay, is it NCSG? I mean, I think these are, I think I understand what all they are, but I'm just wondering if somebody picks this up, are they going to know what all those things stand for? Instinctively. That's in. That's on, I think it's page 5. It's just the names of the representatives, and everybody's got...
and sure, Holly, what I can do is I can put a key, you know, use a key, so...
Just in case somebody from outside the ICANN world wants to actually understand this.
Okay.
That's a very useful suggestion. Thank you. Okay, anything else on part two for the moment? Part three, I think, is just about sub-team A, development of the registrant rights charter, so we'll pass over that. And then four is potential topics for additional amendments to the RAA. And I see that you had a placeholder here for responding specifically to the law enforcement-related proposals. I guess let me just throw out the question, do we think we want to do that specifically because these have been the subject of these GAC resolutions and so forth, or do we simply want to not single out that one group and just give people our priorities? Any thoughts on that, Holly?
Yeah, I did have a thought. Aside from law enforcement, there's also medium priority list, which is on page 11 now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not clear to me. I mean, I think the things that we are looking at negotiating in the first round would be the high priority items. And I think it was a question in my mind, is it the medium priority list go with law enforcement saying down the track, these are the things we're thinking about?
So you would combine that with the discussion of the...
Well, I don't know. I don't know. It was really a question in my mind, is medium priority there because this is not going to be the first round, but these are issues that we think at some point should be revisited?
That's a good question. I mean, I think in terms of how they got there, if you recall, these are the issues that the first time through we said these were high priority, and when we ended up with way too many high priority items, we said, well, these didn't make the cut. But so we... makes sense to list them, but I don't think we're necessarily saying anything about when they would be taken up.
No, and I think some of the items we identified as medium or even low was because some of the initial issues were compliance.
Yes.
And it was clear that there was already work underway with compliance, so there was general agreement, let's not put them as high priority until we understand the work of the compliance and what's being done. So, I mean, is that a trigger that says these are things that we sort of put on hold, waiting other outcomes? I don't know. I'm just that was just possibly why they were medium priority, and maybe that's worth flagging, or I don't know.
David, I think you had a comment.
I do, Steve. I'd like to weigh in on Holly's comment. I do believe that the group ought to recommend a second phase in this process, and that's essentially dependent upon contractual compliance completing our work and beginning to utilize the new enforcement tools that are available in the 2009 RAA. And so, therefore, a phase two, which would require further amendment to the RAA, I believe ought to be a recommendation of the group for that very reason.
Okay. So let me just make sure I understand what you're suggesting is that we say something about, that we mention, as Holly said, and I think we should say this, that there are some items that are not on these priority lists because we thought that they were issues directed primarily to compliance activities, but that at some point in the near future there ought to be some type of evaluation or should take a look at compliance activities and perhaps return to if it seems that the existing RAA is not sufficient, that we would then turn to some of these other items. Is that what you're suggesting?
Mm-hmm. Correct, Steve.
Steve, Cheryl here.
Yes, go ahead.
Thanks, Steve. I'd actually take what David said and build on Holly's question and be a little more definitive.
I think you dropped out there, Cheryl. You said that you would be a little more definitive than David. Cheryl, are you with us? Okay, hopefully we...
Her line just disconnected. I'll call her back.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Get her back. I will mention there are a couple of things that I had put actually in the cover note when I circulated the priority list document. It probably ought to be in here somewhere. One is to say there's some things here is the compliance piece. Another part is to say these 12 are not listed in a priority order within the 12. I'm not sure if it says that now.
Yep.
In the document. And the third was some things we didn't include in here, and this is particularly relevant to the law enforcement.
Cheryl has rejoined.
No, I haven't. I need to get onto my earpiece. Right, so I now hold the phone for the next 45 minutes. Great.
Okay.
What I was saying, and I don't know how far I got, was I would like to make a more forceful statement and suggest that the phase two, as a result of input coming back from where compliance is on a number of issues, is quite definitely proposed. I think the at-large community would feel far better about seeing some of what they think is extremely high priority issues to either a lower or a different list for more than just, for very good reasons. And clearly we can't do everything at once. It just doesn't work. But we're in this situation because people traded off on the current amendments, knowing that there would be an early opportunity for review. And if we only do part of that job or recommend part of that job, I think there'll be significant dissatisfaction. Now, I'm going to hang up and get them to call me back so I can answer my headset.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We'll return to that topic in a minute, but let me just mention the other two. One was that I already mentioned that the 12 are not necessarily in a priority order. And the last one was about the due diligence issues, which a lot of the law enforcement recommendations really went to due diligence that would be happen before someone even got accredited as a registrar. So it's a step before spelling out the obligations that they have as an accredited registrar. And I think that we should definitely mention that. And one thing I'm not clear on is what we say should be done about that. In a sense, it's outside the scope of our remit, which was to look at RAA amendments and due diligence on candidates for accreditation is not really an RAA provision. So I guess the question is, what can we say about this? And really it's a question directed to staff about where things stand in terms of enhanced due diligence for would-be accredited registrars, and what if anything should be said about that in this document. Reactions? I see Holly has her hand up. Is there anyone from staff that can respond to that as well? Holly, go ahead.
I was thinking that it is an important issue. Obviously, law enforcement thought it was an important issue. I think it's fair enough to say these are not our high priority.
Cheryl has rejoined.
Cheryl, just to say, on terms of the law enforcement recommendations about due diligence before somebody comes a registrar, that's not really an RAA amendment, which is quite right. But because it's law enforcement and because it was a big issue for them, it's worth saying it was outside our remit, but this is an issue, so that it doesn't disappear and it doesn't look as if we haven't thought about it.
I think making sure it doesn't fall through the cracks and having a belt and braces approach to some of these things specifically come from law enforcement and that have been picked up quite positively by the GAC is very wise. It saves us explaining it later. And I think, Steve, back to a part two that I didn't get to, I would justify picking out the law enforcement aspect because of the GAC communique out of Nairobi. And I think when there is a bylaw mandate for the board to take note of what GAC says in a communique, and if not, explain why, we'd be rather silly to not follow along the same lines.
I think we had Margie and Dave to respond on the due diligence issue. Margie?
Yeah, I mean, I'll defer to Dave on that. I just these additional comments and the content to explain some of the priority issues. So I'll go ahead and pick those up, and I'll let Dave respond on the accreditation issue. I do think we should have a separate paragraph describing, you know, the reasons behind, you know, some of the due diligence-related decisions, and at least it'll provide clarity to those reading the report.
Dave?
Thank you, Steve. I do know that the Registrar Liaison team is working on improvements, you know, slash enhancements to the accreditation process. I don't honestly know what the status of that is, but I'll volunteer to take that as an action item. I'll reach out to Tim Cole and his team and then provide this group with an update, you know, via email, hopefully within the next 24 to 48 hours.
Great. Holly, did you have another point you wanted to raise?
I've got a very specific comment just on the list of high priority topics, and it's perhaps being pedantic, but on number 3, which was the point of conduct on malicious conduct, could we just add a few words? One, and so it should read, designation of 24/7 technically competent point of conduct, because that was the whole point of it. We have got further down issues about point of, you know, coming up with point of contact information, but this is a particularly special point that came from the security people, and I think we need to pick up just that aspect of it. Otherwise, I'm happy.
Great. Thank you, and I apologize that we didn't, because you raised this last time, and we should have done it then. So let's just do that. Designation of 24/7 technically competent point of contact on malicious conduct issues. So that's done. Okay, let me just see if there are any other comments on this section 4. We have a few things, and you know, I'm glad to try my hand at some of these things, because I know the staff is quite busy with a lot of other things. You know, I could circulate some language on some of these points. I would certainly invite Cheryl, if you want to give us a paragraph or something on the phase 2, that would be great. So I don't want to foreclose that, but I will try to come up with something that's responsive on some of these points and propose a place to put them as well. Is everyone in agreement that we probably do want to have what's down here now as Section 4.2, evaluation of the law enforcement-related RAA proposals? I think Cheryl has made a good point as to why that would be a good thing to do. And I think I assume we would just say we did consider these. We had the whole, on whatever the date was, we had the meeting devoted exclusively to that. With a law enforcement representative, that a lot of these are reflected in our priorities, and that some of them are not on there, and because they're either the compliance issue or the due diligence issue. So I think that's pretty straightforward. Doesn't need to be anything real elaborate. But is everyone in agreement that there ought to be a paragraph singled out on that? Holly?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think it's a great idea. And then I would also add a paragraph about compliance. I think it fits very nicely there that, again, we looked at some of the many important issues, and some of them really are compliance. We had advice from the compliance team, and so those issues will be picked up. And I think that answers Cheryl's point about many of those issues were very important to the at-large community, so they'd want to see the fact that those issues were considered and, in fact, have been highlighted as something that we'll go back to. I think that would be useful.
Okay. All right. Anything else on that people want to offer at this point on Section 4 or Part 4, I guess? Okay. On part five, which is really next steps.
Yep.
Well, as you can see, what's there, what Margie has plugged in, is the last document that I had circulated on this. And then today I saw that Staten had circulated some edits. Unless people want to discuss that specifically, it seems as though he is not happy with the idea of having anybody else, any observers. I think he's taken out all the references to observers. That's the main change as I see it here.
Steve, do you want me to pull up his red line? I have it on Adobe Connect if you'd like to have everyone see it.
That would be fine. I don't think we can really spend, we can certainly spend a few minutes talking about it, but it probably makes sense to defer that until Staten or others from the, because I don't think anyone from the registrar community is on the call now. So,
Steve, Cheryl here. I agree. I think they have to be on the call. And I don't want to see it being a hold up to our progress. So if we can make that a topic for our next meeting, that would be the best way forward as far as I'm concerned anyway.
Okay. I'm certainly comfortable with that. I think we have two pretty – well, anyway, my hope in circulating the revision was to try to meld some of the things from the two different proposals, mine and Tim's, but I'm not sure that I succeeded in that. But anyway, why don't we defer discussion of that, make that our first item on the next call, and hopefully there will be some of our colleagues from the registrar community will be on there. And similarly, I know Staten raised a question about one sentence that was in Annex F, which is referenced here in this Section 5, and that's the staff memorandum dated 14th of April. I certainly agree it ought to be in the report, but they had a problem with one sentence in there, and I'm not sure there's any value to getting into that now unless somebody else shares that concern that's on the call. Let's put that on the agenda for our next meeting. Any other comments on what's down there now in Section 5? That's the next steps part of this. Holly has her hand up. Anybody else? Holly, go ahead.
Just a thought, just to make sure that we do get the registrar community at the next meeting. Is it worth when sending out a special email saying the first item of discussion will be the inclusion or not of observers, and it would be appreciated if people could be present for the discussion, just to flag that we really do need, you know, Tim and or Stratton and or Michaela there to discuss this. I mean, I'd hate to keep deferring it because they're not there.
No, we can't. We can't do that. So I'm certainly happy to do that and just encourage them. I mean, the time and date are set, and hopefully they will have somebody who can step up to that.
Thank you.
Great. All right, then, if there's nothing else on Section 5, the rest of this, is
all... Oh, Steve, I have just a comment. Yeah, on Section 5, on the proposed process, what I did is I basically just took, you know, your straw man and stuck
right.
it in here. But really, number one doesn't make sense. Prioritize the list of topics goes to the GNSO Council, because this report is the document.
That's true. Maybe we could say this report. Just put in parentheses this report. So just again, just kind of putting it in the context.
Right. So, I didn't do any edits, but yeah, I think number one needs to be clarified.
All right. Well, I'm sure there will be other edits before we're done here. Anything else on Section 5? I think all the rest is the annexes, which is the historical material and the substantive proposals. I guess my only comment on the substantive proposals, I think we really had four groups, IPC, the staff, the law enforcement people, and then we had a lot of proposals from Danny Younger. So let's just make sure that all four of those groups are in there, and I think they're all in one place. I mean, each one is one document, so it shouldn't be too difficult to pull that together.
I think Danny's came in through the form of emails, if I'm not mistaken, right? Or did he have a specific document?
I'm trying to remember now. I know last time he had a whole series of emails, but I'm trying to remember if this time he actually had one document. But
I'll go back to the list and see. If he had a separate document, I'll include it like the others. In any event, his name and his comments would be in the broader matrix as we attach it as one of the exhibits.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Anything else on the annexes? Obviously, we will discuss Annex F on our next call, and the others are just kind of plugging in historical documents. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for walking through this. And when I'll send out a note right after this meeting that just encourages everybody to circulate their edits on the list. And I guess I'll encourage people to do that a few days, with a deadline of a few days before our meeting, so that the staff will have a chance to integrate these things. And also in that, I will make the pitch that our first order of business will be talking about Section 5 and Annex F, and encouraging the registrars to attend. Okay, our next, unless there's anything else on the report, let's turn to our next issue, which is the Brussels planning. And I think when we, in our last meeting, we talked about Cheryl sending out something to the SO/AC list, or maybe that's the AC/SO list.
Thank you.
Whichever. And I know that was done because I saw one response to it. But Cheryl, maybe you could fill us in on any developments there.
Thank you, Steve. I'll be delighted. And just to let everyone know, there's our particular proposal, which was a short request that Steve passed on in draft form for me to pass on to the ACSO list, went in at the same time as a whole gamut of agenda items and timing for agenda items is being discussed. So Steve was copied on a single part reply, which probably was a little bit unclear to him, but I felt it was important that the feedback specifically from Vice Chair Giacomo Stefani was saying if the RAA work group forum goes on, that we need to be very inclusive and ensure industry is involved. And it also appeared to me that there was some confusion regarding the exact intention of our fora, as opposed to a discussion of whether or not there should be observers in contract negotiations. So leaving the second part aside, because I think I fixed that, just to let you all know that I am very confident, looking at the current state of play in the ACSO list, that we will have at a minimum a 60-minute session on Monday afternoon. We are trying to get a little more time, but at this stage, I would suggest that staff and the work group start looking towards a planning for a fora for at least a 60-minute session on Monday afternoon.
That's good news. Christina,
it is indeed.
Christina, you had a comment?
Just to note that following on, I believe what Cheryl had sent around, Chuck Gomes, who's chair of the GNSO Council, had posted a message to the council list saying that the idea of such a session had been proposed and did anyone have an objection? And to the best of my knowledge, well, no one who responded to the council list objected. I don't know if there may have been any private email sent, but everything on the list was supportive.
Hey, great. Well, 60 minutes is great.
Just one other thing, Steve. I think it's really important that we get onto that planning now
because I'm hearing, and I think it was Christina informed us in another work group today, some form of interaction, I can't remember, Christina, it's a bit of a blur for me today, that law enforcement is not planning, no, sorry, it was one of the GAC people, law enforcement is not planning on being in Brussels past Tuesday. So it's essential that we get their involvement sooner rather than later.
Right, absolutely. Well, that's why Monday is great. That's really great news in a number of ways. And 60 Minutes is great, and if we can get a little more of that, would probably be better. But obviously there's a lot of things crowding in for attention there.
I shall keep working on that, but you should know that it's actually the chair of the CCNSO who's trying to champion a little bit more time. So if not, the push isn't even coming from what we would consider vested interests of ALAC or GNSO.
Great. Christina, did you have another comment, or I don't know if that was your hand from before.
Sorry, I'll lower my hand.
It's okay. Okay, so great. We have it looks like we will have 60 minutes at least, and I'm assuming if I'm not hearing anything from the staff, who, I don't know if you have any insights onto this process about the calendar either, but. Let's assume, unless we hear otherwise, that we are planning for at least a 60-minute program. And I agree, we should get going on the planning here. I guess the conventional way to do this would simply be to have a brief presentation from the sub-team. Obviously, we've pretty much committed to having somebody from law enforcement. We've pretty much committed to having someone from the registrars. Of course, the registrars are part of the sub-team, but I think the understanding was that they would have a space to express their views about the law enforcement proposals.
Cheryl here.
Yes.
If you like, because I'm locked up with a bunch of GAC people in the AT review team for the next couple of days, I can see what contribution GAC would be interested in making, and I'll be able to talk with staff in their time zone in the next 24 to 48 hours on that matter.
Okay. I think that would be a good idea. In itself, and then the other question is there any other... sub-team B could have one person from GNSO, one person from ALAC as part of that, since it's a joint group. Then we have the GAC covered. Is there someone from CCNSO or from one of the other advisory committees that we need to have on the panel? And I'm saying need to have because, again, if you have four, we now have at least four or five people.
Steve, Cheryl here, we'll be pressured on time otherwise, but I think, for example, with Michaeli having a CC interest as well as the GTLD interests, if we have someone of that calibre, and I know he would be chafing at the bit to be involved because he was a champion of this concept in the first place, we're probably covering off on the CC input, and... I have spoken to both Chuck and Chris to ensure we did get the necessary support for this in the ACSO list, and Chris would be quite comfortable with that approach as well.
Great. So should we have a GNSO person and an ALAC person from the sub-team? Are people comfortable with that? That would mean 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, if assuming GAC does want to have that person on the panel. I don't think that's a given, but let's assume that. And I think that would be about it, all we could do. Certainly if it's a 60-minute program, that has to be the maximum.
Yeah.
And if it's 90, probably still a good idea to keep it to that.
Yeah, that's topped up, I think. And I think that's a good plan, or the beginnings of a plan for us to start working with.
Okay. Christina, did you have your? Sorry.
I did.
Go ahead.
And I apologize because I'm now almost into my fifth hour of ICANN phone calls in this business day. So I'm a little...
But it's getting better and better as it goes on.
It is. It's getting so much more fun. I'm just... Everything is starting to blur together, to be quite honest with you. And here's what I'm forgetting, and that is, what exactly have we decided is the purpose of the session? Is it a update on the work in terms of here's where we, you know, when we last checked in on the RAA, here's what was going on, and here's what's happened since, and these are the discussion, the proposals that have come out, or are we interested in doing some of that and then getting input from the community members that are present or participating remotely? And the reason I'm trying to kind of figure out to what extent it's really, you know, whoever's talking is talking at the attendees versus interacting with, is I think it really goes to how you divide up the time and how many panelists you have, and, you know, do you end up giving people 3 minutes to talk and then just going from there? And I've just frankly forgotten. Sorry.
Okay. Steve, can I help you there? The thing is, you'd actually weren't on the call just for those few minutes while this was at the discussion point, so you sort of inherited this matter.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Steve. Cheryl here for the record. Christina, if I can just draw your memory back, it was when we were looking at ascertaining that what the GAC communique was talking about was in fact the identical set of presentations that we had not only seen, but that we had then gone on to negotiate further details with in the time we spent with Bobby Flay. Industry was particularly concerned with ongoing local press and energy being put into pushing matters that, in fact, we had already discussed with law enforcement needed to go back to their table and to be reviewed, modified, or otherwise come back to us, and we'll discuss about it further. So a part of the purpose of this exercise is to ensure that all stakeholders and interest groups were at the same level of understanding of what we have done as a work group on this matter and why we are hand in glove, not going to be ticking all the boxes that we, if you just read the original law enforcement proposals, you know, we're not just going to go, yes, sir, thank you very much, we'll do all of that. There are some significant logistical issues that we discovered when we were talking to Bobby, and Bobby took those back, but that has not been promulgated to the rest of law enforcement effectively, and if it is, either the GAC or some of the local press have not been picking that up. And Michaeli and co. were very concerned that we got that clear in a very public forum. That said, we should also be having it more interactive and making the opportunity to get public input during that. And if we've got our report out, then I would have tending to use our report as a reference point, because I certainly tire of people reading out to me in PowerPoint presentations what I could read as a document.
I'm with you 100% on that last point, actually 1,000. So I just wanted to make sure that I was clear on that.
Yeah, this is Steve. Let me recognize myself. I'd agree with what Cheryl said, but I think because we will have our report out, part of the reason for doing this is to start getting public input on
yes.
the initial report. And I guess I would ask the staff, I guess, does the initial report actually go out for formal public comment? Or only, I guess, only after the council acts on it, which won't have happened, but probably won't have happened by the time of the Brussels meeting. So I'm a little fuzzy on that. But in any case, I know we do want to hear what the public has to say about it.
Steve, it's Margie. If I can respond.
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking the same line as you that we would send this report to the GNSA Council, the GNSA Council would review it and then post it for public comment. At least that was my thought in preparing this report. We could also, you know, post it for public comment, you know, right before Brussels when we publish it. That's the other alternative, but I just figured it would be, you know, it would take place later.
Yeah. It would make sense to have something out there so that we can, as Cheryl said, we don't have to walk through everything in the report. We could say, here are some of the key conclusions of the report, key recommendations of the report, but the whole thing is available and give people the link and so so forth and encourage them. But obviously, there will be people physically at the meeting and participating remotely, and we want to, I think, leave plenty of time for them to comment and or ask questions, both on the report and on this back and forth, if there is one, between law enforcement and the registrars. So I think if we can hold it to the five presenters and try to hold each of them to 5 minutes, then we've got time, a minimal amount of time, even if it's a 60-minute session, and I think better if we can get a little more time, but that's that may not be on our to us and start on time. I totally agree with Christina on that point. Of course, we don't know exactly what time this would be, but we're just saying Monday afternoon. That's fairly specific already, so that's good. I'd be glad to reach out to the law enforcement people. I mean, they know that this. I've already kept them advised that this is happening, and I can ask them to try to designate who it is that they want to have presenting, and then maybe we can. I don't know, either on the next call or the one at some point. We should get that group together. The registrars. I mean, I think it would be great if Michaela is available and interested to do it. I wouldn't want to make that decision for the registrar group, but I'm sure they can let us know. Cheryl, you're going to raise this with GAC members,
correct,
to see if they want to have somebody, and if so, to figure out who that will be. And in terms of our group, I'd be glad as the convener to take the GNSO slot, unless someone else would like to do it, and I would ask the ALAC people to decide who should take the ALAC slot on this. Again, for the five minutes of fame here that we're each going to have in Brussels.
Of course, one possibility is because I'll be on the ground in Brussels, and at the time when we were first discussing this, Steve, I said I'd be very happy to play a facilitator role.
Yep.
So we can have ALAC recognised and actually clear up a few more minutes
as
for presentation time.
That may be a good way to handle it.
Yep.
Okay. Any other comments on this or other steps we can take now to advance the planning of this session? Do you think it's feasible for us to ask GAC and law enforcement and registrars to see if they could designate a person in the next week, and then those people could sit in on our next call, or should we put it off till the following call? The 10th is our next call, and then the 17th, and that's just, that's even still pretty far ahead. So I guess we don't need to be quite that. We've got plenty to do to finalize our report. So let's just ask those groups to designate somebody, and then we'll figure out when we can get those folks together.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Anything else on Brussels planning that we need to discuss? If not, then let's just briefly review for our next call. We will lead off with the Section 5 Annex F issues.
Yep.
And we'll make sure that the registrars have somebody to address those. And then we will hopefully, if we've gotten other comments, we can we will have another draft of the initial report to look at, and if we're on track, maybe we can come close to finalizing that on that call.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of the Brussels planning element, we can have reports back on whether we've identified our other speakers there and at least know where that stands. And, of course, if there are any other changes, I know fluid the agenda planning can be sometimes. So we'll just be ready to to roll with it. But again, I'm very very pleased to hear that we seem to be on track for Monday afternoon, because that's definitely the time that this should happen, prior to the GNSO Council meeting and with the full participation of law enforcement and so forth. So pleased about that.
But so far, so good, and I'm hearing nothing but affirmative from GAC that would be influencing the chair and vice chair. So, as I say, when Canada came in today to ensure that we knew when law enforcement was going to be there, I think that's very positive.
Yes, good. Okay. Is there any other items that people wanted to raise for today? If not, thanks everyone. I encourage everyone to circulate their comments on the list, and we'll get a new version out before our next call. Our next call will be next Monday at the same time. And yes.
Just from me, Gisela will know, and she'll let you know, because she manages my life very effectively. I have no idea where I will be at this time next week. I think I'm still in the air. So I may be an apology, but I'll get that paragraph to you in between times, as long as Heidi reminds me when I meet her tomorrow that it's on my to-do list.
Great. Okay. In that case, thanks, everybody, for your time and participation today, and we'll be talking next week.
Thank you. Thanks, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye now.
Thank you.